Is that all right? Not being expert, but nevertheless, we should try to sing. Musical expertise is not so important, but the endeavor to glorify the Lord, that is the meaning of kirtan. That doesn't mean that we deliberately sing out of tune. If we can sing very nicely, then we should sing nicely for the pleasure of the Lord. But as many of us don't have the opportunity to practice singing these songs due to living in various remote places, it's understood if we're not so expert in rhythm, tempo, melody, pronunciation, and all these various factors. Pronunciation, pitch, there are so many different factors in music. Bhav, that's another part of the musical science. So, everyone, please move in. Come closer to the Supreme Lord. I'm giving some practical direction how to come closer. I'll just tell some. One of Prabhupada's godbrothers, he was known as Kinchan Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj. Our Govinda Maharaj, Bhakti Bringer Govinda Maharaj, he used to associate with him sometimes. So he just used to like to chant Hare Krishna, day and night, non-stop, no sleeping. So in the Gauriya Math, there were so many controversies. So people would come to him and say, Maharaj, this and that, and this and that, and what do you think? And he'd say, Hare Krishna. So, what's the question? Well, it's nice if we have an inclination to serve the Lord. That's the first thing. There should be some inclination to serve the Lord. We're very fortunate if our inclination to serve the Lord has awakened. If we think, I have this inclination, and my guru, now it's his duty, he has to guide me, he has to indulge me in what I think is my inclination, then we didn't understand what it means to be a disciple. Whatever whimsical idea comes in my mind, the guru has to touch my feet and give me the blessings for doing that. What about book distribution? How many people have the inclination to go out in minus 20 with a big heavy bag of books and try and sell them? Anyone? What about you? Ramacharya selling books. So inclinations may be there, and do the needful is also there. To spread this movement, we may have to do many things which we do not feel inclined to do. Prabhupada in 1966, there's one recording in one lecture saying, actually I don't, in New York, he said, actually I don't want to be here. My heart is always hankering after Vrindavan. But it is my duty, my guru has ordered me to come. So, the guru might advise you according to your inclinations. He might see that you're so much attached to a certain kind of activity that you're in a very neophyte stage and you can't think of doing anything else. Best thing is if you go to Guru and ask, what do you want me to do? Rather than, here's what I want to do, you give your blessings. And in general, advice may be given according to one's abilities, inclinations, and so on. But one should be prepared to do whatever one is asked to do. That's also there. And we should know that we may have acquired certain abilities or inclinations according to our previous activities in this material world, but as spirit soul, our real inclination is to serve Krishna. It may not be according to the karmic situation we have acquired at the present time. Anyway, go on. Yeah, it's a case of being caught between the devil and the deep blue sea. It's a case of being caught. You must have some saying like that in Russian. Like, but you're caught between two evils, two dangerous situations. The Bhagavatam example is given of ants on a log that is burning on both ends. If there's some deviation and is not pointed out, then neophyte devotees will think, well, senior devotee is doing this, therefore it's okay. And if it is pointed out, then they may develop an offensive mentality. Srila Prabhupada, he warned actually his disciples, that means us, against associating with his godbrothers. Some of them at least, or actually most of them, because Prabhupada considered most of them, in Prabhupada's words, to be envious of him. So he warned us to protect us. He also warned us not to speak badly of them, because that would constitute an offense on our part. Well, if you don't know what you're talking about, it's better not to talk. Especially if you're purporting to represent Srila Prabhupada and the Parampara. Prabhu Vishnu Swami told me once that in London some people had been speaking. They weren't properly qualified. Prabhupada was very upset. No, not lecturing, but just... they were like giving their opinions and this and that. So Prabhupada said several times very forcefully, only the most advanced devotees should speak in the temple. So definitely, unless one has a very clear understanding of Krishna consciousness as imparted to us by Srila Prabhupada, if there's not such a person present, it's much better just to read Prabhupada's books and chant Hare Krishna. But actually those who are initiated devotees, they should come up to the standard of being able to present the philosophy. Well, I'd have to watch them all one by one to say, but the general principle, Prabhupada said that in dramas all the actors should be pure devotees. In the dramas they should all be pure devotees. Yeah. This you must have read now. You have Chaitanya Charitamrita. That comes up in the Adi Leela, one purport. Quoting Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said that otherwise they become like Jatradale Narad, farcical Narad. Farcical means like a farce. So if you watch these movies made by people who are not following the regulated principles, they have no... It must be full of various speculations. You can't get a pure concept of Krishna consciousness. You might get some idea of the story, but watch at your own risk. Everyone, please move in more. Come up. Move up. There's so much space here. You can come close. There are more devotees coming gradually. Yes, sometimes in Prabhupada's books there are apparently contradictory instructions. In the Bhagavad Gita as it is, in one place Prabhupada writes one can worship any form of the Lord. In other place he says one should only worship the Shyamasunda form and not divert his mind to any other forms. So in the case of such an apparent contradiction, we can understand that certain instructions are suitable for certain persons. We find in the Nectar of Instruction by Rupa Goswami, translated by Srila Prabhupada, that one should reside at Radha Kund. But Prabhupada did not advise it. He warned his devotees not to reside at Radha Kund. So what is the meaning of this? The point is that one, even though one can place one's body in Radha Kund, one cannot actually reside there unless one has gained the requisite qualification. So that instruction is suitable for those who are eligible to take it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur lived in Calcutta. So there's so many Babajis living at Radha Kund. Are they on the level of Bhaktivinoda Thakur? Nowhere near it. So who's actually living at Radha Kund? And we have to see. We have to understand what it means. Yeah, so not every... different instructions are meant for different persons. That's why Shastra traditionally is always to be studied under the guidance of a guru. And disciple also has to be qualified enough to understand Shastra. It's not simply an academic endeavor. Yeah, then? Devotees should always pray to Krishna for protection, to protect him from Maya, not to protect his Maya. Just like this morning, we're giving the example, the German women were asking, please protect our Maya, our relationships with our menfolk. So we should always pray for Krishna's protection, that you maintain me in your service. It may be that we, because our present situation is mixed up with some situation in the material world, we may pray for that also. Prabhupada notes in the Kunti Devi prayers purports that sometimes the householders are embarrassed because they have to pray to the Lord for some material reasons. So if devotees are really seriously trying to serve Krishna, then Krishna is very kind and will help them in all respects. He may do in various ways. Sometimes by maintaining their family, and sometimes, as in the case of Srila Prabhupada, as he told us, by breaking their family connection. Some devotees like to chew chewing gum. Some devotees like to chew chewing gum. Which devotees? Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu. Lord Brahma, he likes to chew chewing gum. So sitting underneath the banyan tree, asking Parvati to bring some of chewing gum. You offer it to Krishna? I never heard of Krishna chewing chewing gum. We got some unusual questions. By the way, if you want to have good health, you can drink a little wine every day. It's very good for health. So we're told. A little alcohol is good for health. The only problem is that you go to hell because it's sinful, but it's good for health. And if you're feeling a little nervous and stressed out, you can always smoke a cigarette. It relaxes the nerve. You see, and if you're very relaxed, then you can chant Hare Krishna better. Okay, it's recorded. What else? There's nothing in Shastra against chewing chewing gum. That's why I was in the house of one of Prabhupada's godbrothers once, and then I saw he's drinking tea. I said, "Why are you drinking tea?" He said, "Nothing in Shastra against it." So I don't think there's anything in Shastra against going to discos either. Nothing directly against it. You can make a Krishna conscious discotheque. What other brilliant ideas? Is it? Don't remind me. I don't want to vomit in public. Yeah. Okay, we're only joking now. If I get any more questions like that, I might get angry. What do I know? Well, probably not much more than you know. They told me there's a new plan, new design. Let's see it come up now. I suggested to Goswami Maharaj, he can build a temple the way that Prabhupada built temples. That put a little, that there can be some subsidy from the BBT and then push the book distribution like anything. Get the devotees distributing books, and then by distributing books they can raise funds. So if you distribute 1,000,000 books you can raise millions of rubles, like that. That was Prabhupada's brilliant plan, that you spread Krishna consciousness by distributing many books. This way all the devotees become very enthusiastic also. We always used to hear that every book distributed is another brick in Mayapur. So, anyway, I suppose he's still considering that, but that's one way to raise lots of funds and keep everyone fired up and spread the movement widely all at the same time. For sure there will be lots of obstacles, because Maya has her way of acting. And as you know, there are various parties in this country who don't want to see our movement become prominent. So there are many tests ahead. Gayatri Mantra is a meditation on the Supreme Lord, and the mantras we chant along with Brahma Gayatri, they're meditations on Guru, Gauranga and Krishna. Krishna is Krishna Govinda Gopijanda Vala. Madan Mohan oversees the Sambandha Govinda Abhideya and Gopijanda Vallabha Prayojan. So, beginning understanding is that this is the entrance into the deity worship with Pancharatrik mantras. And at higher levels we appreciate Krishna, who is the transcendental Cupid. Krishna is, in this verse, is referred to as Kamadev and Ananga. These are names for Cupid. So these are very esoteric subjects, which chanting these mantras helps us to gradually enter into.
Enter into?
Yeah, gradually helps us to qualify for understanding this. Yeah, see it? Yeah, please move in again. There are devotees standing up. Devotees, come inside. Yeah, independently thinking doesn't mean thinking independent of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Independently thinking means that we don't need someone all the time to tell us what we're not so neophyte or childlike that we need someone at every moment to tell us how to apply the teachings of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Independently thinking, but a devotee doesn't He's always thinking I am dependent. He understands I'm always dependent on the mercy of Guru and Vaishnavas and Krishna. But when one becomes mature in that understanding, then he knows how to apply that in the various multiple circumstances that arise in this material world. When one understands when one is deeply immersed in understanding the principles of Shastra, he might even break or transgress some of the minor rules of Shastra to serve the major rules of Shastra. For instance, there's a rule of Shastra that a sannyasi should not cross the ocean. If Prabhupada hadn't broken that, then the Krishna consciousness couldn't have been preached all over the world. Mm-hmm. So the rule that a sannyasi shouldn't cross the ocean, that's required because one cannot properly follow Vedic Dharma in lands where the Vedic Dharma isn't followed. But if one's connection with Krishna is so strong that he can cross the ocean and keep his bhoga in the fridge with the meat, as Prabhupada did when he was first in America. So Prabhupada was able to do that because he had such an advanced understanding of Krishna consciousness. So we want dynamic devotees who know how to apply the principles of Shastra. Not that forever one has to be told, you do this, you do that. One should become mature in Krishna consciousness. However, one should be very careful not to prematurely consider oneself mature. I was giving the example this morning of one devotee who's actually very advanced, but then basic principle of keeping association with devotees, he didn't do that for many months, and then he became weak. You might have thought, well, now I'm strong enough, I don't have to follow this, but we should never underestimate the power of Maya. Maya never relaxes. Well, actually, when Prabhupada was with us, he only used saffron bead bags, so it might be more appropriate to stick to that. He never asked for any other color. And another of Prabhupada's disciples, they started dressing Prabhupada in the dress of a king, a Western king with a crown and all this kind of thing. It's Kirtanananda. He did like that. So he said, well, it's my expression of offering to Prabhupada.
In his presence?
No. Prabhupada wouldn't have accepted that. After Prabhupada left. You know, seeing the sad results of our devotees' attempts to practice Krishna consciousness in an avant-garde manner, I always recommend better just stick to what Prabhupada told us. It's a safe path. We haven't found that others who have done all these weird and wonderful things have prospered by doing so. Can't go wrong. If you just do what Prabhupada asked us to do, you can't go wrong. Then? You have uppercase letters in Russian? You have uppercase letters in Russian, in Russian language, in writing? Yeah, big compared to small. Yeah, this question comes up then. Similar question comes up then. When we write the deities of the Panchatattva, should be capital D or small D? Because you have mixed tattvas. What do we do when we have mixed tattvas in the Mool Mantra? And Om is not used, Shri is used. So, And then you have to offer to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda and Advaita, and then they can give their remnants afterwards to Gadadhar and Srivas. Becomes a complex question. I mean, they turn around. Actually, it's just supposed to be showed. It's not actually offered. It's just showed. According to Shastra, I had discussed this with Banu Maharaj. Mm. It says in Shastra one should show the lamp. It doesn't say about other things. But Prabhupada, and even before Prabhupada, we see in Jogpit, they show everything. Mm. It's not you're actually offering it, but you just show it like that. Mm. This is the offered item, so you can offer respect to it. Something like that. Mm-hmm. Well, according to Shastra, it says the lamp, but it appears that like even before Prabhupada in the Gaudiya Math, they in their aartis they also show like that. So Prabhupada continued the aarti Prabhupada introduced is taken from the what his Guru Maharaj had introduced. Otherwise you don't find in even in like Radharaman temple, traditionally aarti just means lamp, that's all. It's just offer a lamp, finish, 1 minute. Well, it's understood that one's not surrendering immediately. That's why we need the Guru to help us to advance on the path. So one is not condemned for not being a pure devotee immediately. However, one starts at a certain level of surrender and then is expected to develop from there. So when one takes initiation, one promises to chant at least 16 rounds of the Maha Mantra every day, to follow raw 4 regulated principles. So minimally that much should be done. It's quite a lot for, it seems to be quite a big thing for people in the modern age. So that much minimally should be followed. Mm-hmm. Of course one should always be endeavoring to do more. If one is not confident of being able to follow these throughout one's life, then one shouldn't accept initiation. We may not condemn or reject someone who doesn't follow, but it's not so laudable if they don't follow. Generally one stays at a little distance. That's respectful. Of course, in a crowded temple room, that may not be very feasible. Pujari also goes right up to the deities. Pujari is very close to the deities. One should offer obeisances a little distance from the deity. Well, that has to be worked out by local authorities. If he is going to take temple funds, then if he's going to live on the temple funds, then he should know that people are looking how he spends every penny. And if there's any spend for personal luxury or comfort, people won't be very happy. As far as I know, most temple presidents, or many temple presidents in America, they're all householders, as far as I know. Many or most of them, they do something. They have some business or something on the side, and this way they don't take funds from the temple. They maintain themselves. But the problem with that is then that, you know, then they so much of their time goes in some other activity. And then their secular life gets mixed up with their administrative, temple administration duties. So it's another of those. It's another of those situations where it's very difficult to find an ideal when you're running a religious institution. Exactly what happens in any situation should be worked out with the local GBC, whatever's best in the situation. Yeah, limited to zero. That's how, if anyone's criticizing Prabhupada, then limit your association with them to zero, unless you're very anxious to go to hell with them. And that sort of compassion should not be shown. This person's going to hell, I'll keep them company. Better you tell. Why are you so envious? Better you tell. Why are you criticizing? What's your qualification? Because Krishna is unlimited. So there are unlimited jivas who are meant to give unlimited pleasure to Krishna. Give unlimited pleasure to Krishna. And Krishna has a loving relationship with an unlimited number. We cannot imagine. We have a relationship with a few people. Krishna has a deep loving relationship with unlimited numbers. All glories to Lord Sri Krishna. Burst into flames, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, if Krishna hadn't protected Arjuna, he would have been killed. Not only Arjuna, but every other living being. That we are, yeah, if we're traveling on the car coming here, it's very dangerous because Krishna's protecting. It's not time for us to go. So that power that Krishna had, that was withdrawn after Krishna left because the purpose for which Arjuna was exhibiting that power, that purpose had was no longer relevant. Then Arjuna could understand, oh, it's time for me to leave also. There are many wonderful things we can discuss from Shastra. Now we're just taking questions and giving very brief replies. I was recently listening to some lectures by Gopi Puranadana Prabhu. I think you maybe don't know him, but he's staying in, he's running a school for teaching Srimad Bhagavatam in Govardhan. So I was listening to some lectures. It was a Srimad Bhagavatam underview. Underview is different to an overview.
It's like synonym.
No, it's not. It's, I don't know if you can say, you have a word for overview in Russian? No, there's no such word in English. He made it up. Like overview means you look from above and see, and underview means you look from under and see.
Yeah,
it's a nonce word. Yeah. You know what that means? You kind of make it up yourself. Mm. No, he called the series of lectures the Srimad Bhagavatam underview. Submarine view. Because generally, you know, we have like seminars overview. We try and squash everything in. Like we try and, you know, we're going to have a seminar on Srimad Bhagavatam. In 7 days, we're going to discuss all, basically all the topics. So he was giving an underview. That means that going through every verse and every purport, literally syllable by syllable, with the idea that maybe in 6 months they'll cover one chapter. So if we had time, we could go through each point in great detail. It's our tendency to want to gobble up everything and digest everything. I got Srimad Bhagavatam, well digested. If we can understand one verse, our life is perfect. We may take many lifetimes to do that. So that's a different angle, overview and underview. So you can keep the questions for tomorrow, more questions. Then we'll continue with this tomorrow. Looks like there are many more questions there. All right, well, now Bhagavatam is coming, 10th canto, Chaitanya Charitamrita. So please take these wonderful books. It's great news. It should be advertised on the TV and should be in the, what's it called, the parliament? What's it called? I forgot the name.
Russia?
Yeah.
In the Duma they should
be announcing, this is wonderful, the 10th canto of Bhagavatam has been, and there should be interviews on the TV, and can you tell us what's your experience from reading Srimad Bhagavatam? what was it, what did Maharaj Parikshit say to Shukadev Goswami? Well, what did he say at the beginning of the 10th canto, famous verse? No, Parikshit, he said to Shukadev. Anyone knows? Nivritta tarshai rupagi amanat. How's it go? Bhavoshadam. Chotramano bhiramat. Ka uttama shloka guranavananam. Puman virajete vina pashugnat. He says that persons who are fed up of listening to the news of the Duma and Gospod Putin, and when you're fed up with all this nonsense, then you'll take interest in hearing about Krishna. Nivritta tarsha, when you're fed up with everything else. This is the medicine for the very serious condition of repeated birth and death. And hearing it is simply delightful to the mind. Abhirama. Abhirama means delightful. So who will not take pleasure in hearing the wonderful glorification of the wonderful Supreme Personality of Godhead? Only persons who won't take pleasure in that are those who are killing themselves or killing animals. So people are meat eaters and killing, spoiling their human life. Give them this wonderful books. You first of all take. So take these books and make your life successful. I'm writing books, and it's nice if you read them, but these books, these are the law books. These are the great, wonderful books of Vyasadeva, Shukadeva Goswami, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, given to us by Prabhupada. Incomparable. So these books are, this knowledge is received through the acharyas. And there's one acharya of book distribution here. Can arrange for you to get these books by making a token donation. So, Balarama Acharya Prabhu Ki Jai. Distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.